Picture the scene. Moses has climbed the mountain and he's been given the commandments by God, as we've heard. Thank you, Gloria. These are rules to live by, and they are setting apart the people of God from the pagan nations that are surrounding them as they're wandering through the desert. And with each step that they take, they're becoming a community that is learning to rely upon God. And then Moses descends the mountain. This bit is not in our reading. This bit is a good bit. This bit is a funny bit. Moses descends, carrying these rules for living. And what does he find? The people have taken their jewelry, aided and abetted by Aaron. They've melted it down and they've created a golden calf, an idol. And when Moses says to Aaron, "What were you thinking?" he says the best bit in the Bible. "They made me do it." Last night it felt a little bit like, at the Crown Casino, it felt a little bit like we were in some sort of temple. When Ian Anderson invited me and Richard to take his tickets because he won't go to Crown, I told my husband Richard and he went, "Oh, wow." I said, "Yes, but it's at Crown." And he said, "Can't we just go?" I've never been in Crown at night. I'm sorry if I offend anybody, but I've never been at Crown at night. It was the most awful experience of walking through pokies after pokies and gambling, and they have ATMs even outside the toilets. Okay? Now you tell me what's keeping that place going. But it was a beautiful night. And I was this far from Jared Roughhead. That's another idol. What we're going to do this morning is retell a very old story that's shared over and over and over again. And in my head, and now in your heads, is what goes on at Crown and what goes on in football. Yeah? It's an Australian religion. Sense of belonging. All that worshipping that was going on last night at some of the tables. It's a story. This is the story of God's faithfulness and our unfaithfulness. It's a story of God's faithfulness to God's people. And when you ask, well, who are God's people? Well, God's people are all people, all of creation. We all belong to God. We'll do a quick recap through Genesis and Exodus, and we're going to share this history that we share with our Jewish and our Muslim brothers and sisters of faith. Further evidence that we are one whole community and we're in this together. All right, so God makes a promise to Abraham in Genesis that he and Sarah are going to have a child and the descendants will be as many as the stars. Now, who's been to Outback Australia where there are no street lamps? Right, you understand what I mean about stars in the sky. You know, when you look up and there are that many stars in the sky. That's amazing. What a glorious sight. And that's what God promised to Abraham. So many stars, a huge people, living in the promised land, following God's laws, all descending from Abraham. God is faithful. And then it does come to pass. And the Israelites enjoy years of plenty. And then we meet Joseph and his brothers in Genesis. Now, after a bit of a shaky start where Joseph is sold into slavery by his brothers, he moves to Egypt and he finds favour with the Pharaoh. He lives there and he works there. And ultimately, because there is famine back in their home, the Israelites come to Egypt and Joseph is reunited with his family. The Israelites stay there and they prosper. They become successful. But then, of course, according to Exodus, there's a new Pharaoh. And that new Pharaoh didn't know Joseph, didn't know the story, didn't know the relationship he had with the old Pharaoh. And he was scared by their success and by their numbers. And so what did he do? He enslaved them. Now, I was preparing this during the week. That reminded me of Nazi Germany, where people were scared of the success of the Jewish people, and so the genocide. And then it reminded me of all the different genocides in the history of the Israelite people, the Jewish people. Do you know that after the First World War in southern Russia, during the Russian Civil War, the White Army killed 150,000 Jewish people. The Red Army were killing other people, all right? But the White Army were systematically killing groups of people. And in the 1600s, the Cossacks went into the Ukraine and they killed 100,000 or 50% of the Jewish population there. So this is the history that these people carry with them. All right? Other peoples, other nations carry this too. Other groups of people carry this. And that's why it's important to go to the Building Bridges Through Story next Saturday. You're going to hear more stories. So, after about 400 years of living in Egypt, Moses leads the people into the desert, wandering for 40 years. And that's where we find ourselves this morning. God is placing rules and guidelines around the people of Israel in order to place them, set them apart from those surrounding pagan nations, including Egypt, where they lived for 400 years and where they would have picked up some of those worship habits. So God is recreating the community of faith, realigning them to the way of life where they love God, they love their neighbours, and where their faith and culture is treasured and passed on. And how do they respond to God's faithfulness? They build a golden calf and they worship it. And why do they do that? Well, they can see it, can't they? You can't see God. But they can see it, they can touch it. It's no accident when we talk about a leap of faith. Our language talks about a leap of faith. So that's when we move from what we can prove and we have to suspend our belief and leap into the unknown. So we leave the known and we enter the unknown. Last night, talking of idols, last night, many of the young players, when they got their awards, they would stand up and they said, "Thank you to Hawthorne for your leap of faith in me, for taking a risk in me." And even Ruffy said it when he'd been there 50 years. And even he said, "Thank you for that leap of faith at the beginning." Entering the unknown, risk taking. Now that's football, but we take risks in God. We listen for God's call and we follow. And that is actually taking a risk because we're leaving what we know and we're moving into the unknown. The Israelites, that's what they did. When they left Egypt and they entered the desert, they were leaving what they had known and entering the unknown. And that's why it was so unsettling. And that's why they went back and they built that calf, because they needed something that they could touch, something that they knew, something that was, they could actually feel it and see it. Yeah, it was kind of like a grounding. So let's not treat them too harshly. I'm going to read again the bit from Deuteronomy, the end bit from our reading this morning, chapter 6. And this is where Moses is reminding them once again of this covenant with God, of God's faithfulness. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you're at home and when you're away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So keep these words in your heart and recite them to your children. Remember, we're all children, not just little children, we're all children. The whole of Deuteronomy is about this relationship between the people and God, the faithfulness of God. And this is the faith that we are meant to pass down through the generations, to prevent the future generations falling into the traps of worshipping idols and these other gods. The faith we're to share with our children is one that calls us not to idolize things that we can see and touch and feel, but to rely on this one true God. And that is a leap of faith. Moses then goes on to describe how the people should wear the laws. So they wear them on their foreheads, on their arms, and they write them on their doorposts. This was to be an outward sign of what was going on in somebody's heart. So an outward sign of what they were actually living. We know by the time of Jesus that the religious leaders were being criticized for only displaying the outward signs and not actually living out the laws. So the symbols had become a means to an end in themselves. And again, preparing this week, it took me back to growing up in London during the Irish Troubles, where on both sides, people wore their crosses around their necks and they put them up in their homes. And yet, they were murdering and they were terrorizing people on both sides. They were not living the way of the cross. There was nothing about forgiveness or redemption or grace in their actions. Moses reminds the people, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and with all your might." And that means the whole of our personhood, the whole of our humanity. That's our intellect, our emotions, our belief, our strength, our physicality, and our spirituality. Every part of humanity is embraced. The love that we have for God should become who we are. It becomes our culture. Faithfulness to God becomes who we are. The commandments are not just, can you see, they're not just a list of rules. They're a way of being. So let's go back to teaching our children. The Hebrew word, and I will get corrected because I'm going to say it wrong, but the Hebrew word is shaman. Where's Lorraine? Oh, okay. I want to know the right way to say it. Shaman then. But it means to sharpen or to engrave or to chisel. And it refers to the way that children were taught by repetition, by their parents. So, considering for a minute, you know when the Jewish people have their sacred meals, their festival meals, and an adult will say the words, the parent will say the words, ask a question, and the children respond. And those words are learnt by heart. That's to and fro, it's learnt by repetition. And the words that they say tell the story of the Jewish people. They tell the story of faith. I bet most of us learnt the Lord's Prayer through repetition, didn't we? And that's what Merrin and Grant have been doing with the young explorers over at Atkinson Street this year. The words of the Lord's Prayer are engraved on our hearts so that when we come to times of trouble, they're there for us, that we can hold on to them. So our reading today is more than the rules. It's more about faithfulness, more about love. And that's what we need to be passing on to the next generation. Not the punishment, the judgment, the condemnation. It's God's faithfulness and God's love. Now, the issue that we have is that we have an entire generation, more or less, that have never been to church now. Yeah? So they've left church very, very early. And this is the generation of the parents of children today. These are the parents. And remember, we're talking about passing on faith, not keeping churches open. Two different things. We're passing on faith, not keys to buildings. Yeah? So, every wedding I do, and every funeral I do, I always have the Lord's Prayer printed in the order of service, because people don't necessarily know the words. Whether they're the old words or the new words, that doesn't matter. They've never had to learn them. And this is one of our challenges. How do we reach those people? Well, there's several ways. Remembering it's sharing faith, not keeping churches open. Okay, sharing faith. Some come across a faith community at a time of trouble, so a time of need. So maybe they've come at a funeral. Maybe they've got some practical help through playgroup or through a food larder or something like that. That's not our motivation for helping people. We don't help in order to bring people into our buildings. Yeah? We help because we are motivated by our faith in God. But that's very few people, let's be honest. I've had some in my time come because and attend and join the church through funerals, but very, very few. Some might come across us at social justice events. Yeah, when we're demonstrating on marches, etc., with our banners. And they may engage with us through that. Perhaps when we are volunteering at a hospital or delivering Meals on Wheels, something in the community. But again, that's not why we do these things. We're motivated by our love for God. God loved us first, so we love others. That's why we're out there. Some people might come through different expressions of church, like messy church. That's just one example. And that's a place where all ages participate and learn and teach together. Everybody teaches, everybody learns. And for them, that may work. This here today is a comfortable space for many of you, isn't it? This form of worship, this style of worship, brings you comfort. Yeah? The songs, the prayers, the liturgy. This is what you know. Doesn't work for everybody. Doesn't mean it's wrong, but there are other ways of doing church. This way of church may well end at some point, but the faith will continue if we pass it on. It will just express itself in a different way. Moses reminded these people to love God and love their neighbours. So he's reminding them, giving these words of wisdom again in his old age, passing on pearls of wisdom. I found a quote from Jimmy Carter in the week, former president of the USA. When I think about it, probably one of the best presidents of the USA. No wonder he only did one term. I have one life and one chance to make it count for something. My faith demands that I do whatever I can, wherever I am, whenever I can, for as long as I can, with whatever I have, to try to make a difference. We can all make a difference. We can all be part of sharing the faith in many, many different ways. We can all be part of passing on the story of God and God's faithfulness so that it is not lost to future generations. It's not about passing on keys. It's passing on God's faithfulness and God's love for all of creation, all people. It's never been easy. I'm not saying it's easy. Look at Aaron. He's stuffed up. But it's what we're required to do. It's what we're called to do. We will get it wrong, but through God's grace, we'll always have another chance. Despite everything that we do, God always remains faithful. And to that we say, thanks be to God. Amen.